Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. We got Day Salon on the podcast today. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. It's nice to have you in here. I feel like what you're doing is big for LA, for Compton. You're definitely like an up-and-coming superstar that feels like it's being bred right now, right?
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm working on it. We're in the process.
Definitely. In the process. So talk to me a little bit about coming up. You were born in Compton and raised there? Or?
Nah, I was actually born in fucking Anaheim.
Oh, okay.
And I was raised in Compton. Like, I moved to Compton when I was like 4.
Okay. So your parents decided to level up a little bit and get the hell out of Anaheim, come back to the streets? No?
Nah, it was actually weird. Like, my parents wasn't together. Like, they split. So my mom's dude, who she got with, was in Compton, and that's just where we ended up going.
Okay. Yeah. But you were way too young to, like, realize the difference and the change of scenery that you were going through?
Nah, it was for sure, like, a change in scenery. Like, I noticed it. I was young as fuck, but I still, like, you know, all of a sudden now I got cousins, now I got, you know, different people popping up. I'm just like, okay, it's a little different.
Definitely.
What's this shit?
was it like a crazy place? Would you describe it as a crazy ass place to grow up? Because I mean, you a lot of times you hear about Compton's not necessarily as wild as it used to be in the 90s or whatever.
Yeah. Nah, it was still wild for sure. Growing up, there was like at least 3 drive-bys, like cars in front of my house shooting at the house next to me.
Wow.
Yeah, like, nah, it's still wild. Okay. It's still wild as fuck.
And so did you feel like you were growing up sort of, like, did you want to be a part of that? Or do you want to, like, stay away from it? Like, what was your mentality as a young person observing that?
You know, what was, like, crazy about it was, like, having, like, an Asian mom, she tried to, like, shelter me a lot. Like, she tried to, like, really, you know, keep me away from that. But I was drawn to the lifestyle. So, you know, my little badass, I was sneaking out, like, you know.
Like, really?
Like this is kind of what I am. Like, I can't run from
it. Do you remember a time period, though, where you sort of, like, went from being just, like, a regular kid to, like, quote-unquote jumping off the porch, is how a lot of people tend to phrase it, in terms of when you first start, like, going out and just being your own person and wanting to be around all this shit?
You know, I ain't really officially jump off the porch until, like, I became homeless.
Really?
And that was when I was, like, first time was, like, early 17, like, not early, late 17, and then second time was 18.
So what had to happen to lead up to that?
Like, broken family shit. It was just too much going on in the household that was just toxic, and I was like, I can't deal with this shit no more. Like, I'd rather be on my own and keep dealing with this type of shit, so I'm gonna just distance myself.
Right.
Go.
There was just too much bullshit going on at home. Was it was it your mom's dating life that was sort of bringing problems around, or?
Nah, not her dating life. I mean, you know, it's like when people have demons that they ain't never dealt with, and they kind of take them out on you. Like, I felt like that shit from everybody around me. Like, everybody had their problems, so I was really like that black sheep out of both sides of my family. So I was just like, man, I ain't fucking with y'all. I gotta go.
When you think about, like, an Asian mother, are we thinking of, like, all the stereotypes that she just wanted you to 100% go to college? And were you just not interested?
Nah, I mean, I did. Like, once upon a time, I did. But, you know, as soon as a nigga became homeless, you know, that shit whole changed. I'm like, I gotta get a job. I gotta start working. I gotta start getting to it. Like, yeah. Plus, I wasn't, like, no school person. I hated school.
Right.
I hated school. Only thing I liked was art.
You never had any interest in the school part of things? I feel the same way.
I'm
like,
no.
It just didn't really click for me during my high school years. I'm very into, like, learning and reading as I get older, but as a 17, 18-year-old, it just didn't really work.
Yeah, nah. School just, it wasn't it for me. Like, I'm like, the only thing, I took the things that I was supposed to take, but other than that, all the shit I knew I wasn't gonna use, I'm just like, what the fuck I need to know about this for? Mm. I don't really care.
Definitely. So what was homeless like? Or was there a confrontation with your mom specifically that led to that happening?
Yeah, it was just a buildup of shit. And it was a time and point where it's just like, I ended up going to like two proms, and they weren't mine. They were like other people's, but like she paid for that shit. But I ended up like giving her my paychecks. Like I had my first job was at Ross. She was like taking my paychecks to like kind of pay her back for that shit. Okay. And I'm just like this shit don't feel right. Like, and it was way more than like what it was supposed to be. Like three checks down the line, I'm like, man, it's not right. Like you at this point taking from a nigga, like I can't.
All right, let me have my little Ross hustle. You know, and like, why you gotta try to fuck that up for me?
Let me do my shit. And then at that time, especially, I started Ross, and then shortly after, I got hired at California Pizza Kitchen too. So I was working both of them.
And I was telling my girl as I was getting ready for this interview, I'm like, wow, she worked at Ross and then worked at California Pizza Kitchen, which is crazy because for me, my ideal girl shops at Ross and then eats lunch at California Pizza Kitchen. See? That's just kind of my type, you know? Yeah.
You see, we on a budget and we also got some good taste, you know?
Right. Yeah, I interviewed a dude, that Asian dude, Timothy Daylight Ghetto, is like comedian on Wild and Out and shit. And he said that he got fired from CPK because like, I think he made fun of the uniform on Twitter and so they fired him. Why'd you get fired?
I'm fucking dead. I didn't get fired. I left.
You left.
I left. I started dancing. Mm. I started dancing. And it was hard. Like, I was going from Ross, like, early morning shifts to 6 a.m. shifts to California Pizza Kitchen. Then after that, I go straight home. And then I start working my way to go dance. I'm like, I'm not sleeping.
Right.
I can't keep doing this. Like, something got to give. So
you were doing all three at the same time, but you moved out with the Ross thing going on. You were like, fuck this, I'm going to start my own.
But I ended up, like, I was staying with my best friend. She was all the way in. She lived, like, right by Crenshaw Mall.
Uh-huh.
Fucking Ross was in Long Beach. I had to take, like, two buses and a train. Nah, three buses and a train.
Right.
That shit was fucking wicked.
Wow.
That shit was wicked.
But who put the battery in your back and told you, like, maybe this dancing thing will pay you a lot more?
You know, I was like raised in a household where like they kind of instilled that shit in me. Like they always told me like you gonna be walking up Long Beach Boulevard. Like, is that what you want? Like, what you want, the clear shoes and blah, blah, blah. Like they always made like insinuations like you gonna be a hoe, you gonna be a stripper. So it's kind of in the back of my head, not supposed to be, but I'm like, shit, let me see what it's about.
So your family were like trying to scare you about that path, but then at the same time sort of made it seem like a real path. Yeah,
it wasn't even that they scared me. They was just like kind of just fucked up. They just kind of wanted to, like, you know, it's one of them families that like really like brought you down mentally. Like, you ain't gonna be shit. You ain't never gonna be shit. This is what you gonna be. Like, I can see you gonna have a baby. They thought I was gonna have a baby like 13.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
And
to, like,
I was a fucking virgin till like 17.
Oh, really? Because I feel like a lot of some families like raise a kid like telling them that they could be whatever they want to be, and they sort of put them into a positive mind state. And it's kind of crazy to hear from somebody who sort of makes it out like their parents sort of instilled like self doubt in them.
Yes, I grew up in that shit, so it was hard getting to where I'm at now, like, and just being actually confident and actually believing myself, because I was raised by people who only tore me down.
Right. Damn. Okay, so then at a certain point, how did the stripper thing like pop into your head to really like want to try to do that though?
I started doing my research. Google is a man's best friend right now, you know what I'm saying? So I literally Googled it. I'm like, how much do dancers make? You know, I seen random ass numbers. I'm like, man, fuck it, I'm gonna go find out. So I started DMing different clubs. Like, Instagram was around at the time, and that's when people building their businesses on there. So I'm just like, okay, let me DM some of these people. Like, I'm gonna, like, you know, say, like, see what's up, you know? And the nigga who ran AOD at the time, he's the one who, like, responded and was, like, fucking with me. He was like, hit this nigga. Like, you know, the page told me to, like, hit this nigga. I'm like, all right, well, hit him. And from that point on, that nigga, like, kind of took me in and, like, put me on. So.
From your experience, though, like, I'm always so curious, like, from going to strip clubs in L.A., though, was it did it feel like a predatory type of thing where you feel like when you look back and now that you were sort of being taken advantage of, or do you feel like they actually had your best interest in mind?
Nah, he had my back. Like, I really told that, I told that nigga my story. Like, I told him what had happened. And I don't know why I felt so comfortable with him, but, you know, he's just a real nigga. I could just sense that shit off of people sometimes. And he's just like, you know, I know other things that he do. And for him to do that with me and just like, you know, he got me my fake ID. He didn't want the money back, you know. He was just like, you could work here. And then when another club opened up, he was just like, boom, you could work here. And he didn't want nothing from me. So he really wanted the best for me. Like, it
was fake ID because you had to be 21?
Yeah, okay. I was 18.
I was like, man, I hope you weren't 17.
No, I was a fresh 18. I was a fresh 18.
Okay.
And I had to be cautious with that shit.
Right.
Back then, that Vice, that young Vice was trying to come get me.
Really? They were looking for you specifically?
They wasn't looking for me, but okay. I have for sure had some haters to where they always had Vice popping up at the club. And I knew it was because, like, you know, I was one of the only ones at that time that was, like, young. So I'm just like, shit, they trying to get me.
Wow.
Just get me.
So, like, do you feel like you just grew up a shitload? Because, like, realistically, the strip club is where... You know, that's half the time you go to a strip club, it's like this is all drug dealers / dudes who run other illegal businesses.
Literally.
The strip club is where all the most G'd up / scumbag fucking dudes congregate.
Literally. That's why I could say I matured that much quicker. I was already older for like my age. I already grew up very quickly. Mm. But being 18 and now I'm fucking with people who 24 to 30 and like it's just... It was a whole different ball game.
Right, you just start finding out about so much shit that you wouldn't know about
and
otherwise.
And I just took in the knowledge. I was quiet, you know, I just did my shit. Like, I was a dancer. I literally came in, got my money, and dipped. I'm like, ain't no reason for me to stay here. Don't talk to me, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I was real, like, in and out.
That's kind of, like, the best way, but I feel like it's almost kind of inevitable, especially in L.A., that if you start stripping, that it's going to start creeping its way into your social life and shit, that it's going to be hard to keep it separate from just your regular life, right?
What's crazy is I was able to hide it for all 4 years.
Really?
I was able to hide it. I kept it away from my social media shit. I didn't really promote it like that because, you know, it's just too much things going on. And, like, mentally, I was just like, damn, I proved my family right. Like, last thing I'm going to do is, like, you know, give it to him. Like, I can't do that. So it wasn't that hard because I'm like a real low-key person. So it's not like it was just like, oh, she here, and she danced. Like, I danced, and you never seen me after that.
But you didn't have, like, rappers falling in love with you at the strip club and stuff? I feel like that inevitably ends up happening.
I did.
Yeah?
I did. Damn near everybody I had a crush on when I was younger tried to get at me. And at that time, I was in, like, a four-year on-and-off relationship. So I was like, you know, I got a nigga to go home to, but that shit was fucky.
What, the relationship itself?
Yeah, that's why it was like on and off for 4 years. It was on and
was
off.
It partially because he knew that you were in this environment and he didn't really like it, or?
Yeah, he was for sure insecure nigga. Mm-hmm. he for sure couldn't handle that shit, but he also, like, you know, he ain't had shit going on for himself neither. Like, I was taking care of that nigga basically. Mm. Like, I was low-key getting pimped.
Really?
Nah.
Oh, wow.
Nah.
I felt like you should have told me that along the way in this story at some point. I'm like, holy fuck.
Nah, not at all. I was just taking care of a little bum nigga. All he did was sit on play games. It's not like it was like some pimp shit where like he was really like, this is my money, I'm going to take it. Like, nah, this is my money. You touch my money, better put that shit back.
Right.
Figure out how you can.
But you were just like... convinced that this relationship was it and then you were stuck with it?
Nah, I was just at that time, I literally, like, being homeless, me and him became homeless at the same time.
Right.
And we both didn't have like nothing, so I'm just like, damn, like, this is all I got, because I really cut off my family for like a year and a half, 2 years.
Uh-huh.
So I was really just by myself and it was just really me and him, and that's really who I thought at that time, like, all I had, and that I needed him to, like, keep going, because, like, I felt like if it wasn't because he became homeless, like, I might have just, like, fell under. Because I don't think I had the motivation to do it for myself at that time.
Right. Yeah. Damn, that's serious. So, like, being homeless, though, were you able to, like, find your way into situations where you had somewhere to stay and stuff pretty quickly?
Yeah,
you didn't
honestly
have too many park bench nights, no?
Honestly, no. Like,
okay,
my best friend was, like, she was there for me. Her family, like, low-key took me in. Like, it was like a... It was like a random night here, random night there, but she was the one that was just like, you know, like, I got you. But I just wasn't comfortable with that because I'm like, this ain't home. This ain't, you know, this ain't where I belong. This your situation, you know? But his situation was just that much worse. He was in a point where he had to sleep in my best friend's car. So I was just like, damn. Like, I literally gave myself a week. And I was like, I got a week to get a place. And I got a place within that week.
Wow. Okay.
It was a little shack, but, you know.
It worked?
It worked. It was a little shack.
Holy shit.
It worked.
So were you, like, promoting yourself on Instagram and sort of, like, realizing? Because, like, it's got to be weird being in that strip club environment. You got a million dudes showing you affection, telling you how pretty you are all day. And then, meanwhile, like, you're sort of realizing, like, oh, there's girls building up their Instagram pages, getting a million followers and making money like that. Was that something that you were sort of starting to realize that you thought you might be able to do as well?
You know, I always loved, like, I was always a social media person, like, even as a kid. Like, I got in trouble for trying to be on social media.
Really?
So my first thought when I started dancing was like, all right, what's going to take me out of this shit? Mm. And I looked at Instagram, like, I think that's what's going to do it. Like, you know, I just got to build up this as, like, a profile. Like, I can use it as, like, a modeling profile. Because at first I wanted to do modeling. Because, you know, I was just like, you know, I could do it even though I'm fucking short. You know, semi not realistic, but it is.
Oh, these days you can model even for
now,
sure, right?
Now it don't matter, but you know, back then it was still like a stretch. Like you still had to be that like 5'6". You know, I was still kind of like, you know, trying to dibble and dabble my way up in that shit.
What are you, 5'3"?
Yeah,
my girl's 5'2", so
see,
giant compared to her.
See, you already know.
Yeah. Hard times, you know, short life.
Right, short life.
Well, I'm 6'3" too, so especially we look kind of crazy standing next to each other.
Nah, that's the cool shit.
Yeah,
that's
I like cool it too. Shit. Yeah. But okay, wait. So, what were we talking about? Oh, just you building up your Instagram and
yeah,
everything,
Instagram.
And yeah, that was like a way out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It started. It's actually funny. I started doing it with other photographers, and my nigga being insecure, he was just like, "Nah, I ain't fucking with that." So I ended up buying him a camera, and I started having him take my pictures. So daytime, I was just building up my portfolio. Like, I was using Instagram as, like, a portfolio.
Right.
And then nighttime, I would dance.
Right. And so along the way, like, when did rapping start to enter your brain as a potential part of this whole thing?
Man, rapping music in general didn't hit me till my fourth year dancing. And it was crazy because I told myself in the beginning of dancing, like, by 21, I'm going to be done with this shit. So by 21, I was, but I just didn't know what I wanted to do. Like, I knew I wanted to be successful, but I was tired of doing things that ain't make me happy. So I ended up meeting my old manager at the strip club, which is fucking hilarious. And he seen something in me. At first, he wanted me to do acting. I'm like, well, nigga, I'm not a good actor. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like, I'm not good at acting. And he was like, what? You're a liar. I'm like, nah, I'm not. And then he asked me about music. I'm like, you know, like, I write. Like, you know, I always wrote poetry, but I'm like, I never really tried to write music, you know? And, you know, he challenged me. He gave me a beat, and it's actually shitty, but it's shitty because it's a person beat who it is. But he gave me a fucking 6ix9ine beat.
Oh, boy.
That little Tati beat.
Big Bloods.
Man.
That's your OG.
Man, he gave me one of them fucking beats. I'm just like, why this one? And it was such a random ass beat. I'm like, how the fuck do you rap to this? And I felt like he was trying to challenge me. I'm like, okay, cool. So took the beat, wrote to it. He put me in my first like studio session, my first like thing. I got up in there. It's time for me to lay it. And like, as soon as I put on them headphones, like, I was happy. Like, I glowed. Like, I was just like, oh shit.
It like, felt right.
This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I found where I'm supposed to be at. Like, cool. Got it. Great. So
right.
It was a process before I hit that shit. Like, it was random as fuck.
Right.
Everything happened at the right time.
And so it just started to kind of go from there. Did you have a hard time sort of, because you know, it's one thing to have clout from being a pretty girl on Instagram and then try to transfer it over to getting people to actually pay attention to your music is a very different thing.
It is. I was always like the goofy person on Instagram. So it was like goofy. I danced, like, you know, I was doing like just the cute shit, but it wasn't, I don't think it was that hard really. Cause I ain't show them too much of my personality. So they really didn't get to know who I was until I really started opening my mouth.
That's interesting. When did you meet YG, and how did he play a role into all this?
That was crazy. I actually met him at AOD.
I figured.
Fucking hilarious. I met his ass at AOD.
If you're a stripper, you could probably, if you strip for a year, you're going to basically meet everybody in the LA music scene,
everyone.
I would guess, right?
Yeah. Every single person, even people you don't expect to meet, it's just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right. I feel super out of touch that I like don't go to the strip clubs anymore.
Nah, they're kind of garbage.
Yeah?
Now they are.
I got baby on the way. I got to stay away anyway.
Yeah. Not the time, not the move.
Nah, yeah, she's not going to feel that
probably
one.
Probably not.
But okay, so what was it like meeting him, and how did you end up showing him your music?
You know, like meeting him, it was funny. Like people from the city, like we just like automatically vibe. Like unless you like a gangbanger, you know, like I told him like what's the deal? Like I'm from Compton. Like, we automatically just cool, solid. So from there, like, you know, he just followed me on Instagram, followed him back, you know. We was just regular, just regular at that. And my old manager, he is the one who was just like, I think I want to link you with YG. And I'm just like, yeah. And I'm like, cool. So at the time, like, I hit him just on some, like, casual shit, and I, like, let him know, like, hey, I'm doing music, like, I sent him some shit. I sent him like a video I did. Mm-hmm. And this is before I even laid my first song. It was like a freestyle video that I fucking lost. So sad.
Oh, really?
Man, so sad.
That's a tragedy.
Man.
It'll be missing from the like eventual, like at one point they're going to make a whole compilation of everything. And
yeah, I'm just like, damn, that was the OG one that people ain't even get to see. But I sent that to him and he like called me. He was just like, bro, like you can fucking rap. Like, he's like, fuck with me. I'm just like, huh? He like fuck with me on 400. I'm like, okay, like, you know, we'll see. And then like, you know, as I kept doing the music shit, like probably like 3-4 songs in, like he called me out the blue and he was just like, bruh, what's up with your music shit? And you know, it's kind of like a no brainer to like fuck with him 400 Compton shit. Like it makes sense.
Right. You guys must have like a pretty close relationship because he was actually calling you like 20 minutes ago while we were sort of waiting around for like five minutes before
man.
We started this.
He be worried and shit. I'm just like, man, I got this. He like a big brother. He be like, be cool, you know, got this, be straight to the point, like, man, I got this.
That's one thing you can say about him though is that like he's had his own career and everything, but he's also signed like a lot of different talent over the past however many years. Like he's really a lot of like different artists that had a wave going. He got in there and like recognized that pretty early. So
nah, that's facts. Yeah, that's facts. I look up to bro. He fire.
Yeah. And I mean, it's got to be kind of crazy because he's like been through so much shit in the industry that he just must have so much shit to warn you about and to tell you.
But he don't even warn me. He just be like, you know, just stay on your shit. Focus on this. Like, you know, don't let the other shit, like, you know, sidetrack you. Like, nigga, focus. This is what you got
to
do.
How much does he try to get involved up in the music, like the actual creative process? Because I'm sure he has something to offer in that regard.
None.
Really?
None. He, at now, like at this point, he knows it's better to just leave me alone and just be like me, be in a studio, just me by myself and an engineer.
Really?
Because then I come out with songs, he's just like, nigga, what the fuck? Like, versus when people be up in there or he be up in there and it be different, like opinions and shit, I'd be like, all right, I'm gonna do what y'all wanna do, but it ain't really what I wanna do. So, you know, I'm gonna make what y'all want me to make.
Right.
Got it. But he helped me along the lines of like my writing, like when it comes to writing, because at first I started off with too many words. He was just like, you need to make things more simple.
A lot of rappers have that problem.
Yeah, I got that problem. I'd be like trying to rap, and he'd be like, nah, you gotta
right.
Like, you'd be like, tone it down. You gotta do some catchy shit sometimes. You gotta do this.
It's better to fit the flow and say a lot less than to say too much and make the flow sound a little bit.
Exactly. And people ain't gonna hear that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely.
So he for sure helped me in that aspect.
But so you guys haven't done like a full on collab yet, like being in the studio really making records, or have you done that but you haven't released it yet?
We have. We try to make like three. Well, now we got a banger. We sitting on a banger, I ain't gonna lie.
Really?
Wait on it. Who that motherfucker gonna be fire? But the ones before that, like, yeah, we had tried some shit, like, you know, like the, you know how like the Trina and the Trick Daddy, how they had their like little talking back and forth shit. We tried to do that type of shit. It's like, nah, this one cool. Nah, this one all right. But I think we tried it the third time, the third one hit. I'm just like, okay, cool. We
something. Definitely. Does he also like, because he could help put you in the studio with all kinds of artists too. Has he like helped to arrange any of that kind of shit yet?
Nah, he ain't arranged nothing. I mean, he wanted me to do a song. I had this song that I wrote, and he wanted to put somebody on it. And I guess they arranged for Stunna Girl to get on it.
Shout out to Stunna Girl. I know her.
Yeah.
Didn't work out?
Nah.
What happened?
Not my vibe.
Oh, really? You guys just didn't really get along?
Not somebody I'd ever, you know.
Oh, okay.
Just not my flavor right there.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
That didn't work out. And that's how, you know, eventually Ruby came into the picture because, you know, he was just like, man, you need a feature with somebody, like, but, you know, you still up and coming. It's got to be somebody from, you know, the West Side. I'm like, well, I got to be somebody from the West Side, you know? And then I brought up Ruby. And then, you know, they made that shit happen.
No, I thought that was a really good fit in general, too. And she's kind of, like, similar to you in that she's a girl who's, like, known on the internet for just being good-looking. But then also, I feel like her music is really good. Like, I actually have a shitload of faith in Ruby. And sometimes I wonder, like, if, you know, when, like, the little TJ situation was going down. It's like, people, like, I think her music is really good. I think her voice is really good. Her delivery is good. Fire. I think she's a star. So it's like, sometimes I hope that that kind of bullshit doesn't, like, get in the way of that.
Yeah, she just, she can't let the niggas fuck up her shit, man. Like,
so what was it like when you guys tapped in, though? Was it, because, I mean, it must be just totally different energy.
It
She's
was
on
cool.
the other side of the country.
It was cool. I mean, we first initially met on FaceTime. It was cool. Like, we vibed. I met her in person, like, 3 days later.
Right.
And, you know, we, like, clicked. We was cool. Like, she was just, like, you know, she, like, sweet. So, like, you know.
She's about the girls, too. I remember when I met her that she was almost, like, more trying to, like, get me hyped on her friends that she was with and shit than just hyping up herself. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. She fire.
That's dope. Yeah, and that song is really good, too. I mean, sometimes, like, okay, when Cardi B came out, that was the first time that we had seen a girl talking about stripping like it was selling crack. Like, yeah, I did this and I made it out and now I'm in the position I'm in and stuff. That was she was the first girl I heard rap and make stripping sound like some gangster shit that she did to make it where she is now.
Shit,
and now with like somebody you coming out that don't even really like stand out to me as all that crazy. Like, oh, of course, like a young girl might do that to make some money for a while before her music career starts going.
I mean, nah, it's a hustle. Mm. It's for sure a hustle. Like, yeah, I play it off like it's some regular shit, but I was working 7 days a week because that money is like, that money addicting.
Mm.
Money addicting, and when you get it so easy, you spend just as much.
Right.
That shit trap your ass, so you kind of gotta like keep dancing.
Did you feel like you were ever really like caking, like, or stacking that money, or was it just kind of always coming and going because you were wrapped up in that lifestyle?
No, I was stacking. I was for sure stacking because I wanted to get a car. I'm like, man, Uber's just whooping my ass. Like, I can't keep doing that shit because I'm the type of person, like, if I want something, I'm gonna go get it. So if my food is 50 miles away, I'm going to pay for that Uber. That's $100.
Wow.
Because I want that specific food.
Mm.
So I would pay $100 to get there, $100 to get back. But when you dancer, you got it like that. So it don't fucking matter. Like, it don't fucking matter. I'm going to do it.
Well, there's like certain like cheeseburgers that are just that attractive to you. You're like, I need that burger right now.
Man,
no?
And see, I'm like, I was raised off of like Asian food majority. Mm. So like the good ass Asian food out here is like all the way in like Westminster or like Gardena. Okay. And at that time, I was living in Watts.
Oh.
So I was just like, man, I want one of these motherfuckers. And then I'm like addicted to boba. So boba alone was like $30, you know, trip there.
They ain't got no boba in Watts?
Hell no. Hell no. Not one that I'm going to trust the fuck with. They shit wild.
You fuck with Hawkins like that, though?
Yeah, man, they burgers fire.
Hawkins is amazing.
But I got to stay away from they turkey burgers is bomb.
Why you got to stay away?
Because I don't be eating beef no more like that.
Oh, okay.
Like, I stay away from that shit.
Thought you were saying because it's, like, right there.
Nah, no. That shit fire, though.
You're good around there, though? You can pull up to Hawkins? It's all good?
Yeah.
You got your Hawkins pass?
Man, that's food. You got a problem with me getting a burger, nigga? What's the deal?
No, but, like, when I pulled up to Hawkins, I just, like, immediately realized, like, whoa, this is, like,
I'm in the hood.
If you're not supposed to be here, they are not going to be fucking with you being
they gonna
here.
They're going to be looking at you like, your purpose.
Yeah. I almost threw a purple hoodie on there, and my homie's like, he's like, you with me, so you can wear that, but I could kind of see it in his eye. He was like, maybe
like,
you don't want to wear that.
I don't think we want to do that right now.
No purple here.
I don't want to get pressed.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You gotta be careful. So, okay. is it kind of weird though, because music is more of like a long-term hustle, and you know, the stripper thing is like cash in hand by the end of the night. Was it sort of hard for you to make that break and decide, I'm just going to do this instead of this?
Man, hell yeah, because music for one whole year, that shit took everything I had. Like, pursuing music, my team was like, you can't dance, you can't do social media shit. And it wasn't that they said I couldn't do social media shit. It was just they had my accounts, like, connected to their emails and shit. So I'm like, how I get money is through that shit. So y'all got it. So I can't get money through that. Can't get money through that. I'm like, damn, fuck am I supposed to do? What? Fast forward, a nigga went to jail. So.
Who went to jail?
Me.
Oh, you. When was that?
See, I'm real low key.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know.
Yeah, I only went for like a day and a half. But I'm like fighting that case right now, but it was cause I had to do what I had to do because I couldn't get money like the way I knew how to get money.
What'd you do? You robbed a bank?
Nah, it was for some like robbery shit.
Oh, for real?
But it wasn't a bank.
Okay.
It wasn't a bank. You know what I'm saying?
But
smart.
Wait, your old ways just crept back in and you just had to get it?
Yeah, I'm like, I'm a hustler. You can't tell me I can't get money this way and can't get money that way. I ain't finna do nothing. Like, what? You crazy?
Right.
Like, I'm gonna get it how I need to get it. So, you know, and fucking with my ex at the time, you know.
He was a flocker?
Yeah, he was a big flocker. This isn't the one for 4 years. This is a new ex.
Oh.
We was on some like Bonnie and Clyde shit. He was from the Bay. He was a big flocker. So.
Ooh.
We was on some like different shit, and yeah, we got, you know, caught up. But that was cause I'm trying to pursue music. Like, I ain't trying to go against what y'all saying. Like, I'ma fuck with y'all, I'ma trust y'all,
mm-hmm.
but I still need money.
But is the management team trying to like tone down the sexiness and shit on Instagram? Do they have a lot of concerns about that? Cause it's kind of hard to present yourself as a full on like model and then also do the rapping thing. I feel like Ruby's an example of somebody who pulls it off good though.
Yeah, nah, she do that shit for sure. It's hard. Like, we was actually talking about that shit the other day. Me and my team, we got to come to an agreement when it comes to like this social media presence thing. You know, like, we vibe with it, but it's just like, you know, niggas want me to do this type of shit, but I know like this ain't the shit that's gonna do this. And then they want to complain about like, oh, your male following higher than your female, but it's like, if you want me to do shit like this, that's all it's gonna bring me. You know,
right.
You won't let me do shit like this, like, you know. What can I do?
Mm.
So we like in the process, like we working on that shit right now.
Cause that was one weird thing is that when I was watching your stuff at first, when they hit me up, like, oh, do you want to interview her? I was watching your shit and my girl was like, you posted her on Instagram the other day. And I was like, did I? And she's like, yeah, that was a Fashion Nova post. I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize it was the same person. There you go.
Yeah.
There it is.
I got like different little looks. I'll be switching it up a lot.
Little side hustles.
Yeah, you know.
But so what is like the state of the music right now? Are you still like in the studio all the time? You're still grinding at it or what?
Still in the studio, damn near every other day, hustling. We project is done, so you know, I kinda get to lay back off of it even though I don't want to. You know, project done, but now we just in the process, all right, what we dropping next, what we dropping next, then project.
Mm. Yeah. That's dope. Do you feel like the corona thing has like slowed down everything a lot?
Like a motherfucker.
You would probably have been at South by Southwest getting
like
looks there.
Like a motherfucker.
All kinds of shit,
I'm
right?
irritated. You know, it's crazy. At my signing dinner, one of the agencies, they said like they got me rolling loud.
Mm.
So I was super excited. I'm like, bro, like what I love, like what I'm excited for, like aside from the actual music, is performing. Like I want to perform so bad. Like, so this whole corona shit is just like, you can't have concerts till 2021. I'm just like, man. All
right. And just being in that environment too, I feel like you just need to be around everybody and meeting everybody and shit, and that a lot of people would just fuck with you off of just like, that's why like it's kind of crazy to hear you talking about the strip club thing and how that led to you meeting people who had power in the music industry and that led you to where you're at now. It's kind of like
everybody
you just
there.
You got to network, you know, you gotta
got
put
to
put your face in front of people.
You got to That's how you're gonna get somewhere up in here.
Yeah,
my little antisocial ass be having to do that shit.
That's how you feel though? You feel like you're kind of antisocial, so when you put yourself in that environment, it's
as fuck
a little bit of a stretch, but it's very
necessary.
It was
a stretch like a motherfucker. Like for me, I was one of them dancers that was like kind of hard to catch. Like I was literally like a stage performer. I performed on stage. I didn't really do floor work unless it was just like I was requested. So I would go ham on stage, and then by the time I get off stage, it'll be like, this table wants you, this table wants you, this table wants you. So then I got a run to make. After that run, I go to the back and I sit and I smoke and I wait till my next stage set. Like, I wouldn't really walk around, mingle. Like, I hated talking. Like, I hated talking to people. Like, I was like, fuck am I here for?
Right, because I mean, like, dancing on stage is one thing, but I could totally understand how a lot of girls who are comfortable dancing on stage would not really be feeling the whole, like, grinding on a motherfucker in the private room and getting their fucking stinky ass scent all over you.
I can count on one hand how many private dances I did.
Really?
And it was literally because the niggas were cool and they were like, I don't even want you to dance. I just want to talk to you. And they literally just kept handing me hundreds while they talked to me.
Wow. That actually sounds pretty great.
It is great. It is great. All you got to do is sit there, look cute, and they just like, yeah, tell me more. Yeah, then it'll be great.
How do you feel like what are the main things you can do to advance your career at this point since you are not able to do a lot of the in-person type shit that you would normally have been able to do?
Man, I just got to go crazy on social media. I got to do it on the Instagrams, the TikToks. I got to get into the YouTube shit. I got to keep, you know, spreading out my name. I gotta keep representing that I'm an artist in different ways, and I can't just, you know, like, the world shut down, I can't move outside. Like, nah, social media bigger than a lot of just walking outside. So I'm just like, fuck it. No, plus that's where I fucking started, why not?
Definitely. Do you feel like you have to like do anything in particular to appeal to the like young girl side of your fan base, since like you said, you are doing very well with the dude side of the fan base?
Yeah, it's my goofy shit. That's how I was building my like my fan base at first. Like, my fan base probably came off of like my goofy shit, my like, you know, my random dancing shit. It wasn't stripper shit, it was like retarded ass dancing shit. And, like, you know, my random talking videos, like, that's how I started building up my female shit. And I also used to do weaves and shit. And, you know, like, I did a lot of everything. So my female following back then was a lot more even versus now. It's just like, you know, sexy this, yeah, boom, that.
It's kind of weird, though, because most of the rap fans, realistically, at the end of the day, like, are dudes. But then there's also like a shitload of girls that are gonna be fans too, but it's kind of like a different.
I need my females though, because I'm trying to build like, you know, a generation of stronger females. You know what I'm saying? I can't, do that just with a bunch of niggas. I mean, yeah, you could teach your daughter, but at the same time, I want your daughter to hear me.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel it. Okay, so anything you have planned? Anything we should be looking forward to in terms of stuff coming up?
Me and G will be dropping a song. Very, very soon. Not sure if it's gonna be August or September, but y'all be on the lookout for that. It's gonna be fire. And then my project should be dropping in November.
Nice.
But I'm probably gonna drop one more single before me and G even drop something. So, you know, stay tuned for that. Keep it lit.
That's exciting.
No. Gotta
do it.
Lit.
Do it for Compton.
Always. Do it for the bitty.
You still out there or no?
You know, considering I'm fighting the case right now, I decide to stay away from the hood currently, because every time I go back, I always do some fucky shit.
Right.
So, you know, that's like why I moved to the suburbians area.
Are you scared you're going to end up getting locked up due to this whole situation?
Not scared. I feel like I might get locked up for, like, calling somebody out on some shit. Like, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
I don't have a filter. I don't. So
I mean, this is rap music. We're getting locked up. Doesn't, you know, tend to hurt your career if you only got to stay in there
really
for a little while.
But at the same time, you know, like, I don't want to show like my people, like, you know, like, yeah, getting locked up is a wave. Like, it's not. But, you know, like, at the same time, like,
shit happens.
It happens. It happens. You know. But I'm gonna stay away from the hood because I know it's more likely to happen if I'm in the hood. Because I know me.
Makes sense. And so your rap name is your government name?
Nah.
No, okay. You switched that up at some point?
I did. Well, Day is my government name, but it's half of it.
Oh,
and then
okay.
Sulan came from Mulan.
Oh, okay. Because
that was like my little favorite like character growing up.
The Moulin Rouge shit?
Nah, Mulan.
Oh. See, what? I'm old school. I'm thinking about that Christina Aguilera song. Who was the original song?
Nah, the Disney shit. The Mulan.
Yeah. No, I know
the
Mulan.
Strong,
I've seen her.
You know what I'm saying? Swore the niggas down. You know what I'm saying? She okay. Fire.
I'm thinking Moulin Rouge. I don't even really remember what that is. I just remember Christina Aguilera was involved with it.
I'm dead. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I don't even know about that shit.
Generation gap. Yeah, right there.
My bad. My bad right there.
Well, that makes sense. All right. Anybody you want to shout out or anything we need to look forward to?
Shit. Nah. I mean, yo, shout out my fam. Shout out YG. Shout out my team. I love y'all. Y'all doing your shit. shout out to the city, kind of the West Side. You know, I'm doing it for y'all.
there it is. Now, you're a real like LA chick. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel the energy. Like you speak on behalf, I think, of a lot of girls out there in the city. So yeah, that's why, man. I want to see you win for sure.
Oh, I'm going to win.
There it is.
I'll wait on it.
Let's get it.
I'll wait on it.
Day Salon, No Jumper.
400.
Coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want support.